Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Love talking to Coach Dick Vermeil, who's brought to us by Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest network of doctors and hospital, means you get to choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com. The legendary coach of the Eagles, Coach Dick Vermeil, Hall of Famer Dick Vermeil. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you on the show, Dick. So, look, you went through a lot of seasons, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of twists and turns, times where the town's ready to rip your head off because people are frustrated. What do you think the last couple of days was like for Nick Sirianni? What is it like as a pro football head coach when you're in the eye of the storm to go through that?
Well, I think once you go through it, or once you commit your sin, you know, you go into meeting rooms and game plan rooms and you get over it. You forget about it and you recognize you made a mistake and move on. You know, coaches got to realize their job is not to make them happy, it's to make them better. Okay, and I think he just obviously made a mistake, and he's admitted it.
Yeah, he did admit it. No, that is true.
Coach, I have a question just in general about the way that Coach Sirianni takes these mistakes on. You know, this week we heard him claim play calls on a couple plays that, like, the coaches, like Vic Fangio, was like, it really wasn't a big deal. He told me something. It really wasn't him making a huge mistake. I feel like Nick is trying to put the blame for everything on himself, and I understand and appreciate that he wants to protect his guys and his coaches, but shouldn't the players and coaches who actually messed up be the ones who fix what they messed up? You know, if it's really about accountability, isn't this distracting the guys from true accountability when Nick says, hey, it's me, when it's not?
Well, I think most good leaders do accept the overall blame for his product, okay, or overall credit. And that's, the head coach always gets most of the credit and most of the blame. That's the nature of his responsibility. And, you know, I think he's right in doing that. I think that he holds people accountability behind closed doors, holds them accountable, and moves on from there. And I think sometimes general media gets, they need something to get deeply involved in, and that's a pretty good topic, you know. And
sure,
in doing it, that's what he is, that's what he does. And many times there are head coaches that don't do that. They just don't say anything. Or they'll use the term, we made a mistake, you know.
Sure.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't see any negative in it, and probably more positive than negative.
Dick, let's talk about the Eagles' offense. So obviously it really has not hummed yet this year, although A.J. Brown's a remarkable player and gives him a huge advantage. What do you make of the fact that it looks, to a large extent, structurally similar to last year? I mean, we were hoping for a reimagined offense. It hasn't been. Jalen's only been under center on 4% of the plays this year when it's not a quarterback sneak. Why do you think that is?
Less pre-snap motion than we were hoping for, Coach. Yeah. Less play action than we were hoping for.
Yeah, a lot less. So why do you think that is, and what do you think they should do about it?
Well, first off, they still have the same head coach, okay? And, you know, he came here as an offensive coach. And remember, he started out calling his own plays, then moved and gave it to the coordinator and moved on. But I think he's blended what he likes in what the coordinator likes. And I agree with you. I'd like to see him under center more. I thought he would be under center more. I think there's a lot of advantages to being under the center more. You know, you look at the best offenses in the league right now. So they're under the center an awful lot. But, sometimes you can get so infatuated with, like they are now with the shotgun, that you lose sight of the other phases of your offense. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them gradually move in to more of it, more of the eye, more of the center, more of the tailback behind him, the quarterback, more downhill type runs, because, you know, we've got maybe the best running back in the league, and we keep our offensive line is the best offensive line in the league, or at least in the top three. So I kind of believe we'll see that kind of movement. Maybe not. I could be wrong, but I'd be surprised if they don't get into a little bit more eye. You know, everybody talks about the play-action possibilities out of eye formation, or now it doesn't have to be eye. It could be pistol. It could be whatever it is, but with the tail back behind the quarterback. So, you know, I'd like to see it. A lot of fans would like to see him do it a little bit more, but we're not in the game plan room.
How much do you expect the offensive coaches will feature Saquon against his former team coach?
I don't think they'll purposely do it, but they certainly have to because, you know, every time he touches a ball, he's a threat.
Yeah,
he's the biggest threat to the opponent as our two great wide receivers are. He can make a big play. And sometimes a running back, a big play, is 10 yards or 8 yards. And it should have only been a 1 yard play, and he made it 8 or 9 and moved it to a first down. I don't think because he's playing against his old team they'll emphasize him more, but I'm sure they're going to give him the ball. Yeah.
So Dick, you've coached so many players, and obviously, I don't know if you can remember this off the top of your head, but many of them go back and face a former team. From your experience, a situation like Saquon, do they generally play better against the former team? Do they play worse because they get overhyped? Or do you think it just nets out what they are is what they are? Do you ever notice a difference in a player when he's facing a former team?
I think I have. First off, they know a lot of kids on the team. You know, you like to compete, and you like to compete better against the people that know you. You like to be better than you were when you left that team. You know, and you like to say, see, you shouldn't have let me go, or thank you for letting me go. Yeah, I think that it's more of an individual thing than overall a team thing. Yes.
Coach, how can the offensive staff emphasize starting faster?
Boy, I don't know. You know, I learned through my career, to start fast, you got to start emphasizing who are the best players on your team. Okay, and make sure they're touching the football. Now, last week we tried to get the ball deep, you know, and not real high percentage throws, but those guys are deep, you know, deep threats. But, you know, our offensive line, we keep saying how good they are, okay, and we're going to be minus our left tackle, yes, but well, right. You know, it'll play well. But anyway, I think you start out emphasizing the strength of your team, your offensive line, your great running back, a blend of offense, emphasizing that phase of your offense. Yeah. And high percentage completions. I used to, because Ron Jaworski was so intense and so competitive, I used to start him out with conservative throws, screens, quick screens, and, you know, the downhill running play with Wilbert and those kind of things, because we were efficient, and it gave him a series to settle down and relax a little bit. His pulse rate was about 50% higher on the first series of downs.
He wanted to get after it. So that's awesome. That's exactly what I would want. But our turnover differential this year, we're minus 6. That's the worst by any team with the winning record in the NFL. What does that say about our team? We turn it over, yet we're sitting at 3-2. How good are we?
Well, we're better than 3-2. When you're minus, when you can win in spite of the turnover ratio, you're a pretty good football team. We haven't proved it yet. We will play better than we're playing. We're all disappointed they aren't playing better. But you know, the people most disappointed is the coaching staff and their players. You know, so he's got a good staff. You know, the defense is better than they were last year. Okay, if you go all, I go all through the stats and the critical ones that I like to evaluate. The defense is playing better than it played last year. Okay, the offense is not up to what it was last year, but I think they'll gradually catch up. Why not? We've got the players, you know, and we all talk about the talent we have on offense, and you know, the defense isn't as talented per se by position, but they're playing better, and I kind of believe the offense will catch up.
Dick, let's get one more question in here on the Cowboys, because we always enjoy when they don't play well, and boy, they're not playing well now. So do you think they're kind of cooked? I mean, let me put it this way. Someone told me the other day the stars are still there, but the infrastructure of the team has fallen apart. The bones of the team aren't what they used to be. Do you think they're just this is what they are, just not very good?
Well, you know, what did Parcells always say? You are what your record is.
Yeah.
And he's right. You know, I have two coaches that coach for me on that staff, both on offense. And the offense is not that far off. You know, the quarterback's way up there yet, you know. But the defense, with all the injuries, their best pass rushers and all that makes a difference. And I think they'll become a better team as they get healthy. But I don't see them playing with the great intensity and confidence they have played, well, not the cockiness even, that they have played with in the past right now.
Yeah, I mean, hard to do that when you're getting whooped, yeah. You know?
Oh, I know it. I mean, I'll tell you, I have, you know, fortunately in my career, I've experienced a lot of losses, but never one like that. My God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that was brutal.
The team needs a blood transfusion after a game like that.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Hey, Coach, we love having you on the show. Reminder to everyone listening, Dick Vermeil's got the best wine. I mean, we just love it. And great news, if you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can now get delicious Vermeil wines shipped directly to your home. Visit VermeilWines.com for Coach's entire wine selection. Reminder, as we are, you know, now starting to get close to the holiday season, it's a great gift. It's great to buy for yourself and store it away for some holiday parties. It's just the best. Vermeil wine, again, at VermeilWine.com. Coach, thanks so much for being a big part of the show.
Guys, I'll pass on. You know, my computer says Giants
win. Oh, yes.
That's bad news, isn't it?
Oh, wait, the Giants?
Yeah. No.
Oh, computer says the Giants.
No. Throw the computer out, Dick. Throw it out.
Hold on. Alrighty, the Giants said the Giants win by what, Coach?
1 point.
Oh, no. Well, your computer's broken.
I will tell you this, Dick. If the Eagles lose this game, I promise you we'll be mad at the actual Eagles and not your computer.
All right, hey, take care.
Dick, stay well. Thanks, my man.
Coach. We're
going to need a lot of his wine if that happens.
Oh, could you imagine that? Could you imagine Monday if they lose this game? And, guys, let's not take it for granted. It's no sure thing they'll win,
no.
But they should. And I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. The primary reason why the Eagles should win the game is because Jalen Hurts is supposed to be significantly better than Daniel Jones. So go do it. Go
be
that.
He certainly paid a lot more money.
A lot more money. 215-592-9494. Up
Daniel
ahead.
Jones is making $40 million.
Yeah, but not the same level of commitment. It was a two-year deal or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not the same. It's not the same thing.
He's making $40 million.
Man, let's hope the Eagles rise up this weekend. Really. I mean, it's such a winnable game. And if they get it, and I do care how they get it. I want to be clear. Like, the goal is to win, but the bigger picture goal is to play great football so that, you know, we can feel confident they're actually a great team and have a shot to go on a deep run, which right now, you know, they've looked nowhere near like a great team. But get a victory, make it impressive, and let's rock and roll with this season. Now, we might need a miracle to get that done. Bathtub time machine. I might tap into that with some Eagles Giants history. We'll get to that in about 20 minutes. Phone calls right now. By the way, one other thing, you know, an interesting nugget from the, as we touched on earlier, from the Dodgers Mets series. Four games, 31 walks the Dodgers have had. 31.
It's a record.
31.
Do you know the number how many the Phillies had in their four game series against the Mets?
All right. Let me guess.
Okay.
I will go with 9.
16.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot more than I recall.
No, I mean, and the point, obviously, and I think people listening know this, is if they're swinging, if they're pitching balls, don't swing. Just don't swing.
The Mets are one of the worst teams this season with giving up walks. And that's why, like, I know it's all the hitters, but, I mean, have a plan. Like your coach said, like, this is what this Mets team does.
Yeah. Don't
swing. Clearly the Dodgers had a plan.
Yeah, no, that's very evident. And the annoying thing is, the Phillies and the Dodgers for almost the entire year, my recollection is maybe not April, but for almost the entire year, they were pretty much neck and neck for best record, right? I mean, you know, generally. It was meaning even if the Phillies were up by four, it was typically the Dodgers trailing them. It was those two teams for you knew they
the
were
Mookie missed a big
and,
part.
No, he
of
did,
it, yeah.
But it's like you knew that they were probably gonna be the two top teams record wise, and one of them is one game away from going to the World Series, and the other one's been done for a week or more now. Let's go to the phones. Q in Center City. Q, good morning.
How you doing?
Doing good, Q.
Listen, Hello?
Listening.
I'm sorry. Listen, Alec Bohm.
Yeah.
I would say that he's the nucleus, part of the nucleus. So if we, like, if we want to, like, go forward, because I truly believe this window is open. I don't think that this window will be, we could say this window is open for World Series.
Well, it depends who you get. I mean, look, sometimes you change nucleus players. Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor were part of the nucleus, and then Lito and Sheldon became it. I mean, Dave Cash was part of the nucleus, and then Manny Trio. Was, you know, like, sometimes you make adjustments. But I like him. I would keep him, but I'm open-minded if they can replace him with someone much better. I think where I hesitate is the concept that you'll get someone much better. I really do.
I don't think you are neither. And if you look at it, I mean, he has improved the last – I mean, if we look at this Phillies team, he has made the biggest improvements over the last few years, as far as defensively and at the plate. So, like, Alec Bohm is part of what's going on. And I hate when we try to compare different sports. Baseball is a different sport than football. The nucleus and
you're right, but he's
part,
still a head like, case. Q, Alec Bohm might be a head case to where it becomes a problem beyond what we're accustomed to seeing. I don't know for sure how bad this is. I know they have a better idea how bad it is. I know that Alec Bohm is very valuable in Major League Baseball in terms of his youth and his future. Even though he's not as young as some may think at 28 years old, this guy, he actually acts a lot younger and more immature than you would expect for a 28-year-old. I don't know. I don't know whether it's bad enough to get rid of this guy. I do know that his outside the expectations attitude is problematic for me personally because I don't want it spreading. I don't want that negativity to bring other guys down.
Well, you don't. No, that's right. All right, Q, give me a great answer here. You can win the Kevin Hart tickets. What is irritating?
The most irritating thing to me is folks who walk their dog and don't pick up the poo.
Great answer.
Yeah. I agree, man.
It's a great answer. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, watch someone act like they didn't see it.
I know. That's the best.
Come on, man.
I'll say something to someone.
I'll
be like, yo, pick it up.
That deuce.
No, I agree. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox. Sets the bar on styling. And Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. So, two different poll questions. First, who wins on Sunday, Eagles or Giants? Second one, in some ways, more interesting. Here's the question. Do you feel confident Jalen Hurts will play significantly better than Daniel Jones Sunday? He is supposed to. He is supposed to. He is supposed to be a significantly better player. James, let's go around the room here. Do you feel confident that he will play significantly better than Daniel Jones?
I do. And I'm not saying it with, you know, bravado, but if I have to say yes or no, I do feel confident. But again, I wouldn't be like completely shocked if he didn't, but I think he's going to.
You know, the only thing that gives me hope is it's AJ Brown's second game back. But, you know, Daniel Jones he was a different quarterback last week without Malik Nabers. He's getting him back. That kid's a stud. So, I mean, I'm leaning more towards no than the yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Why?
Because he's a better quarterback. He has A.J. Brown. He has Devontae Smith. He has Saquon Barkley. He has Grant Calcaterra. Like, the list goes on. And Daniel Jones is not good. We know this.
Okay, so
it's
here's
offensive to Jalen Hurts to even ask this question.
Here's the thing I'll push back on,
Daniel
though.
Jones is fast, and we have not stopped him running the football.
The only thing that stopped him was the turf that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, Devin. Here's the thing I'll push back on what you said as far as, like, yes, there's more skill position players around Jalen. But to me, that doesn't mean he necessarily plays better if he hits A.J. Brown and he just outruns someone. No.
Well, we saw how much it helped having all of his, options to get the ball to last week. He didn't turn the ball over.
No, he played better as the game went on, but he still didn't play good at all in the first half. I mean, the first half was a disaster.
Yeah, it was a bad start, but it's a bad start for the whole offense.
Look, my answer is no. There's no way I can say I feel confident he will. I know he's supposed to. I know he may. But I certainly don't feel confident of it. John, where are you at? Yes or no, you feel confident he will?
I'm confident. Last week was He didn't turn the ball over. It looked more like last year. I think he's more confident, more comfortable in the offense. It better continue to grow. It better be more under center this week. It better have more pre-snap motion and more play action. I expect that we'll see it.
All right, let's...
And part of the issue that we're not throwing the ball over the middle is we're not running enough plays when we're not converting in first halves, when we're not scoring in first quarter.
But the over the middle is a percentage
when we
thing.
Get
it's not right, it's not about we, a total.
When we get more plays, things will start looking more rounded. Is my point.
Okay, I don't agree, but I hope you're right. I just the under center thing. So we tackled that this week with Nick Sirianni, who was on the show. John asking about the under center thing. If you don't know the basic stats. Other than the quarterback sneak, which I think the Eagles are still very lucky that the league gives them the advantage of. I mean, the Eagles create their own advantage.
They did it like four times last week, right?
It was four times early.
Yeah.
Like, I really think the Eagles, I really believe they'd be a lesser team without the tush push.
Oh, 100%.
Like, there's no question about it. So, all right, it's still in pro football. Maybe it stays forever. Who knows? But other than a tush push, the Eagles barely put Jalen under center. So far this year through five games, it's only 4% of the plays, which if you get 75 plays in a game thereabout, I mean, you're basically talking about three plays a game. I mean, that's a joke. Here is Sirianni when John asked him about it this week.
Nick, we were expecting a lot more under center this season with the new offense. Is Jalen in shotgun still so much because he's uncomfortable under center?
I don't think that's the case. You know, again, you do what you need to do each week. I think sometimes there's different avenues to being under center. You also have pistol, which simulates under center. I'm not saying that we've been in that a bunch, but, you know, there's parts of that as well. And I think just different game plans call for different things. I think we've run the ball well. You know, I know we're up there amongst the top teams in the league running the football, which is where you talk about under center, but also you talk about under center for the play action pass game. But you're also running, when you're running the football, you want to mesh the play action pass game to the way you're running the football. So there's going to be a time and place for the under center. It hasn't been as much as we probably anticipated. I know you guys anticipated, but it's probably what we have probably anticipated right now. And so there's always room for that. There's always room for times to do that and times not to do that.
So here's my assessment of what Sirianni just said there. He had to answer that question that way because he can't possibly, when John asks, is it an indication Jalen's uncomfortable, he can't possibly say yes.
They're never going to come out and say
that. Yeah, he can't say that.
Yeah.
So he kind of talks around it, in my opinion. But I think the very basic reality is that Jalen is not comfortable with it and or effective with it, and that's why they don't do it. And I understand why they won't do it if he's not good at it, but, I mean, it's disappointing if he's not better at it at this point. I mean, really, three plays a game under center? Come on.
Jalen was asked about it this week in a press conference, and he didn't really give a clear answer.
There's
but it was
shock.
Kind of like, it was kind of like, well, it's not really a personal preference. It's just how I just run the plays that they tell me to, essentially.
Well.
Which I don't know.
I don't believe that either.
I don't buy that at all.
Yeah.
At all. All right, let's listen. Another issue here, obviously, this week has been the whole Sirianni thing on multiple levels. Brandon Graham joined us earlier this week. And listen, the players do like Sirianni. There is no doubt about that. Maybe Jalen doesn't. Maybe he does. I don't know. But, I mean, the bulk of them love him. Here's Brandon Graham the other day.
What does that really say?
I
don't believe that that means much.
No, it doesn't. No, I agree with you, John. It doesn't mean he's a good coach. People can like him. But that's not what's really important. What's important is how good a coach is he. I mean, that's
precisely
that's what's important. And it's great that they like him, but that's like a small percentage of the overall thing.
Dick Vermeil just had a great line. He said it's not your job to make him happy. It's
that's
your job
right.
to make him better.
That's right.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll put it this way. Pickett's charge, maybe his guys like Pickett. I don't know. But he sent him into battle and said charge, and they shouldn't have. You know,
I thought you were talking about Kenny Pickett.
Me too. That's an
unfortunate. What the hell is he talking about?
Strategy matters. All right, let's listen to Brandon Graham. He has consistently had his coaches back. Here's what he said to us this week.
It does sound like you guys love.
Yeah.
Love.
You're not
Nick
bothered.
Sirianni. Is that accurate? Like you guys love it and aren't bothered by some of the goofy stuff, or does that get irritating sometimes?
I think it's just when you know I accept Nick for who he is as a person, as a coach.
I've seen him grow over the years. The stuff that you don't see behind the scenes, you know, like what you say, mm-hmm. he had to find a balance, you know, on how he do stuff with us too, just as much as he got to do it with y'all. But it's tougher because it's not like we condemning him like y'all are. So it's like mm-hmm. I can feel where he's coming from because I've been there and I wanted to, yeah, but I do it with my play. And so I found my balance where I ain't had to go off on fans. I just show you by what I do on this field because that's what I'm hoping for him, that he can turn. He is going to turn this around as far as, you know, how people expectations of this whole situation, of this offense, of this team. You know, the expectations is at it's all the way through the roof, you know, beginning of the season. And so when it's not that, people start to question things. And so for him, I just say stay being who you are. We love Nick. You know what I'm saying? We love the organization on who they bring in here because they do bring some great guys in.
All right, so here's the thing I'll say to all that. Obviously, I truly believe Brandon. They do really like him. They really do. But and we've talked a lot this week about the antics, and I tend to think he'll be calmed down this week because of the reaction. But the most important thing by far, two elements of his coaching. One, offensive scheming, which frankly I don't think he has the biggest role in anymore, but to the extent that he's involved, you want to see the offense be better. Two, this to me is the big one with him this year. Just basic in-game decisions.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I thought he was really good in his first 3 years, and I think Doug was typically good on the fourth and three, what to do. This year, he's been a disaster. Just if he can just clean that up, and I think of everything with the Eagles, everything, I think it is the number one easiest thing they can improve on. Just make better decisions in the game of when to go for it and when not, and they will become a better, more productive football team. That's an easy one.
I have a major problem with the start of that that whole section. Brandon saying, I've seen him grow over the years. Like, I know that that's a nice statement. I know that that's important. I know that it's a good thing that Nick has grown over the years. But I don't think... I know Andy Reid has grown over the years. I watch Andy Reid's offense expand every year.
That's right.
I watch the creativity. Like, the growth, what Brandon was saying, I've watched him grow over the years. It does feel different than Andy Reid's evolution.
Well, I agree, but to be fair, we were largely in that point there talking about the personality aspect more than the scheming aspect. So
we were talking about the personality, and that is somewhat of a problem, that the players feel like their coach has to grow and get better at these things. That, well, the, that
the first press conference alone, he wasn't prepared. So I do think he grew. I think it's accurate.
Oh, absolutely. But that is strange. It's a strange spot to be in. Again, we talk about it all the time. There are 32 of these jobs in the world.
Yeah.
These are supposed to be the 32 brightest football minds in the world. And that's my big concern, that it doesn't always feel like we've got one in the top 32.
I don't think that's fair. I think they're supposed to be the 32 best head football coaches. I don't think you have to be the brightest football mind. You don't have to be a better coordinator.
But we wanted him to be the brightest football mind, Jimmy.
No, you did. You did. I wanted a leader of men more than I wanted a...
We didn't want him to be... We wanted him to come in and call the plays. We wanted him to come in and bring his offense and call the plays.
But you want him to be a leader of men at the end of the day.
Ideally, you want both.
But he was calling the plays. That's what we wanted.
Yeah, but to be fair, to use a guy,
he didn't do it
well. But to use Vermeil as an example, and I'm too young to know what it was in 80, but in 99, Mike Morris ran the offense.
Well, how about Dan Campbell?
Someone else ran the
defense. You love Dan Campbell. He's a great head coach. He doesn't call any plays.
I get it.
All right, Dan Campbell.
That was the plan. For Dan Campbell, he wasn't calling plays initially.
Right,
Ben Johnson was his.
Right, wouldn't you say Ben Johnson's a brighter football mind than Dan Campbell?
Yeah,
exactly. So that's my point: is the 32 head coaches don't necessarily have to be the 32 brightest minds. They just have to be the 32 best head coaches.
My point is, we thought we were getting it, and we didn't get.
We thought we were getting a guy with emotional intelligence, and that doesn't appear to be the case.
I agree with that. All right, let's go to the phones. A lot going on here. Bathtub Time Machine shortly, man. A lot of fascinating. And in many cases, phenomenal history between the Eagles and the Giants when the teams square off up there. Let's talk to Keith in Northeast Philly. Keith, good morning.
Yo, good morning. Joe, congrats on the win.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
why don't you just congratulate me on next week's also? Because I'll probably get another one next week, right?
I don't know. Not if I get through, Joe.
Yeah.
Nice, Keith. Beat him up.
We'll see.
He's beaten you a couple times already, so.
Settle down. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Good job, Keith.
We're gonna block that number.
Uh-oh. I feel like you do. That's why I don't get through sometimes.
I can tell you, I don't.
Maybe there's more to this.
No. I don't. All right, Keith, what do you got on what we're talking about here? Alec Bohm, the Eagles, what do you got? By the way, juice on the start of the Sixers. Let me just say, 5 days to the Sixers?
We don't know if Paul George or Joel Embiid are playing. That's a problem.
It's a huge problem. And even when Joel plays, he's not going to play like that consistently, I guess. So. It's really a shame. I mean, 5 days to the start of the Sixers, and it's like you kind of wouldn't even know it.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who's going to be there? I don't know. It's hard to get excited for them.
It's almost like I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to say I'm excited for it because I just don't even know who's going to be there when we get started and how good we can be.
But with the three players, right, you're supposed to be able to go win 55 games minimum. And go chase the
title. This does not feel like a 55-win season. Are you kidding?
No,
wow.
I know, but we're derailing you here. Keith, what'd you call in for?
Now, about the Eagles, the game this weekend, like, Eagles are better all across the board, except for probably defensive line that give the edge to the Giants. But like you said, Joe, Jalen Hurts should be head and shoulders above Daniel Jones. But it's just hard to trust them, too. Like, should they blow him out? Like, probably, but... on paper, they should, but just the way they've been playing, it's hard to go to a game like feeling super confident they're going to win. I do have to say, though, at least Hurts didn't turn the ball over last game.
That was a step. That was good.
Yeah,
that's what he always did best in the past. He was smart with the ball. He was making we don't appreciate these small decisions, the pull read decisions, all those little ball handling moves that he does so well. Really, because of all the practice he's got in that mode, he is the most trustworthy of the quarterbacks running this.
He's still not, though, getting the edge as much as he used to. He just isn't. I mean, what he was,
but
guys,
haven't
go back.
We seen that we can tell he's not pushing it to get the edge at times.
At times, but I agree with that at times, but I also feel like that what he entered the league, you go back and watch that Saints game from 2021 when he replaced Carson.
It's so much more measured.
It's not the same.
No, you're right.
It's not.
Because it was 100% effort on every play when he was running the ball then. Now he's so focused on protecting himself.
Yeah.
When he doesn't give that full effort, when he's given that 85%, it's very noticeable.
It is. And Keith, the most basic way I'd sum it up is this. At his athletic best, he was never what Vic or Randall were.
Right.
But he was in the conversation. He's not even in the conversation right now.
Nah, he's like so much slower now.
He's a lot slower than those guys were as they got older. Keith, give me a great answer. What is irritating?
Oh man, it happens a lot. I can't stand it. When somebody's double parked and right next to them is a spot where you could fit like an 18-wheeler in.
Oh my god, dude. I couldn't agree with this more. It drives me insane.
In the city, it is such an issue. With deliveries.
Oh, my God. There'll be like 10 spaces right next to them. I'm just going to stop in the middle, so deal with it.
And they block an entire lane. It's so annoying.
All right, let's talk to Drew calling. We're getting a lot of great answers today. Drew in Westchester, what's up, bud?
Hey, good morning, folks. I know he didn't win the contest, but if he's still listening, congrats to Delso. I don't always root for the contestant, but I was rooting hard for him today.
Well, I did it for his unborn child, though. I mean, you got to remember, I'm the hero here.
Okay.
Right? I'm the one that won something for his kid. All he did was be the dad.
Yeah, I'd say you should get half a point for his stot answer so he doesn't walk away with a goose egg.
No, I'm joking around. All good.
So I'm going to start with the Phillies and then move to the Eagles. So my concern with Dombrowski's comments the other day is I feel like behind the scenes they think like, oh, we just got a bad draw. We ran into a hot Mets team. The way the Phillies played, like they would lose a series to the Yankees, to the Dodgers, the Guardians, the Padres.
Dude, maybe the Marlins.
Tigers.
Maybe the Marlins. That's how bad the Phillies played. I mean, with the bullpen and the bats, they would have lost to most teams in Major League Baseball.
And I'm just concerned that they're going to, you know, I know they won 95 games, but I'm just concerned that they're going to run this core back that obviously has major flaws. Like, I need at minimum, like, one creative move in the offseason, and ideally, you know, two. I'm not necessarily expecting them to get Soto, but, like, you have to do something. You can't just be in, like, total denial about this.
Like, I'll be shocked if they do nothing. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday we asked Ruben Amaro, gut feeling, Castellanos and Boehm, is one of them gone? And he said yes. Now, I don't know who that's more likely to be. Who is that, John, more likely to be?
Well, my gut says it's Alec Boehm, but I don't know how much my personal feelings are involved here. I do feel like he is not the right fit for our team, and even despite the fact that he's an outstanding baseball player.
I mean, I'll say this because I know there's talk like the Phil's got the young guy in the minors that can come up. Like, they got a pretty much ready-to-win World Series team now, relatively speaking. I know you make some tweaks, but, like, do you want a rookie in there?
I actually asked Dombrowski about Aiden Miller, and he specifically said he is not ready. He will not be brought up this season. So it's not an option. So I don't know if they'd put Sosa
because Dombrowski says it doesn't mean it's
not.
No,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. But he did say that Andy, my bestie, Painter, it would be ready. So, like, I get he's not going to give a lot away, but he went out of his way to say that he's not going to bring up another thing.
All right, Drew, I need an answer from you. What is irritating?
Yeah, for sure. People who use speakerphone in public.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that answer as well. Speaking of things that are irritating, when the Eagles lose to the Giants, but thrilling, and I mean thrilling, when we get a miracle when the Eagles win. With that, Bathtub Time Machine, Eagles-Giants, up there edition. Haven't taken as many baths lately. John, I've been busy writing my book. I got to get this damn book done, man. For the love of God.
Everyone's waiting with bated breath for it.
Well, I want to get back to reading my book so I don't have to write a book. Anyway. All right, Bathtub Time Machine. So some very, very memorable games through the years when the Eagles and Giants play up there in the Meadowlands. Look, bottom line is it's gone both ways a number of times. When it's bad, it can be real bad. Let's go inside Bathtub Time Machine when the Eagles, you know, aren't so hot up there. How about, look, this one was a stinker of all stinkers. 2000 playoff game when, I mean, the Eagles couldn't move the ball. Ron Dixon has a freaking kick return to start the game.
Oh, my God.
Jason Sehorn has an all-time athletic interception. The ball's, like, through his legs. He's on the ground. He gets up. Got freaking Angie Harmon cheering in the freaking box.
Forgot about the Angie Harmon thing.
They're not together anymore?
I don't believe they
that's
are.
That's tough.
I will double check, but I don't think they are.
Richie, you should make a move on Angie Harmon.
Love Angie Harmon.
Oh,
I don't need to make a move.
You don't need to make a move?
I don't. I'm good.
Ooh, good for you, man.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good for you.
Yeah, very much so. Very good.
Whoa.
Do we have a drop of the week?
Whoa. Whoa.
We wanted
the news.
Wait, are you going out with Devin?
I am not.
No, I was just saying the news thing. Remember?
I just heard Devin.
I'm the breaking news sounder.
I just making sure.
I'm not here to break Richie's news. But is that what you're doing here?
I don't know.
I mean, it seems like you are leading into that. But
John,
I don't know what to do. Uh-oh. There is news. I guess
there's something occurring.
I guess.
This is good. That's great.
This is great.
Good for you, man.
I think it's great for me, too. Yeah, I'm dating. I guess I have a girlfriend that I'm fascinated by.
That's great, man.
Yes. I love this. The best news ever.
And it's not, I guess I have a girlfriend. I am very into my girlfriend.
Good for you, man.
Yes. And she's wonderful.
Well, good for her because she's got a good man, and good for you, man.
Thanks,
man.
That's so awesome.
We're all happy for
it. Best news of the day. We needed a pick-me-up.
Well, okay. Thanks.
I like that.
I feel great about it. I feel like a new man.
Good for you, man. All right. Well done.
No Angie Harmon.
No Angie Harmon.
She is available. They are broken up.
Okay. Yeah.
Circling back.
All right. Wow. All right. Well, how about that in Bathtub Time Machine? We got the rich girlfriend. All right. How about that? All right.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's great.
No,
that's
you can interrupt with that anytime you want.
It really is exciting.
By the way, I will say this. Time's Yours is available for you to react to John Ritchie having a girlfriend. Now, the ladies of the Delaware Valley, if your hearts are breaking, you can react. Time's Yours, 215-238-4500. The ladies of the Delaware Valley that have been rooting for John to have a girlfriend and are happy for him, you can react. 215-238-4500. And the gentlemen, on whatever side you want to come down on all this, and I'm sure a lot of people will be happy for John, 215-238-4500 for John Ritchie having a girlfriend. Time's Yours in about an hour. All right. Now, while we've got that going on, we also got Bathtub Time Machine. So, look, I could do more on the bad side. Forget that. I want to talk about the good times. Seltzer, I want to talk about the miraculous times.
Miraculous?
Because the bottom line is there is no scenario in the Eagles' history where they have pulled off more miracles. And, guys, we may need a miracle. It's been a while. I mean, it's been a year since we've had a game where we actually feel good after the game, even if they win. So maybe it's miracle time. And the good news is they're in the right spot. When the Eagles are up there, I mean, miracles happen. There have been four in the history of the Eagles and the Giants. Let's start with the OG. Let's start in 78. By the way, the amazing thing about these four games, all four times the Eagles made the playoffs, and all four times they made the playoffs in a way where this game was critical in the process of either making the playoffs or surging in the year. Let's go back.
You were there for one of them.
You were.
Yes,
that's right.
Was.
Let's go to 1978. It's the original. It's Herman Edwards.
Seconds left of the game. And Pazarczyk fumbles the football. It's picked up by Herman Edwards. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Eagles. I don't believe it. I do not believe what has occurred here, ladies and gentlemen, as Pazarczyk came forward, fumbled the football. Charlie Johnson hit him, and Herman Edwards picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown.
One of the most famous plays in football history. And if you're too young, and I think most people have good sense, but if you don't know, the basic bottom line is all the Giants had to do was kneel the ball.
Yep.
And they chose to run a regular play. And it's a fumble, and on one hop, right to Herm Edwards, he goes in. I mean, it's
the offensive coordinator, Bob Gitson, I believe, was fired.
He was.
Say, and never coached in football again.
Yeah, he was fired. And that was the first year the Eagles made the playoffs.
But never coached again. That's crazy.
Yeah. Dude, it's the craziest thing in the world. You got to kneel, and you run a play?
Yeah.
It's nuts. All right, now let's go 10 years after that. Because 10 years later, to the week, and I do wonder if the NFL scheduled Eagles-Giants 10-year anniversary up there. But my guess is probably, because I do remember it was a big deal. 10-year anniversary, blah, blah, blah. And it's the Eagles and Giants again. This is also the only time this happened in pro football. So the Eagles and Giants are tied. It's overtime. They're lining up for a field goal. The only time in the history of pro football that a defensive lineman playing offensive line for a field goal returns a blocked kick. Offensive player forward Clyde Simmons after Lawrence Taylor blocks the kick.
The ball is spotted. The kick is blocked. It's blocked, but it's picked up by Zendejas, and it's lateral back and running in for a touchdown. The Eagles win.
Clyde Simmons, I think, Merle.
Went blocked down.
The miracle of the Meadowlands 10 years later.
You never, ever, ever see that, and that was the last play of the game.
Insane.
I mean, we saw a block kick the other day. Yep. It's always the defensive team that scores the touchdown. This was the offensive team. And it had to
guys
do with...
don't even know this rule.
Like, no, they don't.
Most players would not know what to do in that
situation.
Well, the
funny thing is, Sean, Parcells went out and freaked out. And the refs were like, get out of our face. We know the rule. Yeah. That counts.
Yeah.
But I remember watching that. I didn't know the rule.
Sure.
You never see the kicking team advance the ball. It happened. It was amazing. Right. All right. Now let's go. Now, by the way, so that was a 10-year hiatus between miracles. Now let's go to a 15-year hiatus. 2003, we got an 0-3 Eagles team that is struggling. 2-3, close to being 2-4. Offense couldn't move the ball, but Brian Westbrook in his second year, the hero. By the way, some great blocks. Got to give it to Ike as one of the blockers on this play. Brian Westbrook with an all-time punt return.
He gets it away. It's a wobbler. Bounces across the 20. Westbrook takes it, looks for running room, up to the 25, the 30, to the 35, 40, 45, midfield, 45, 40, 35, 40, Brian Westbrook, he's going, touchdown, Brian Westbrook, 84 yards, no penalty flags, I don't believe it, Brian Westbrook has just exploded, and with 1:16 remaining, this place is in a state of shock.
John, what was that like for you as his teammate when that happened?
Just one of the most exciting moments I had ever taken in at that point in time. That we were so pent up and frustrated. And on our sideline, I the offensive lineman and myself, you know, we're pounding the table to run the ball more.
Andy kept throwing it.
We were convinced we could run it. Weak side ISO, just 93 weak. Bang, 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 bang. Run it 15 times and we'll gain 100 yards. Let's go. But we didn't do that because Andy's Andy.
And Donovan struggled. Did he throw it over 50 times that game, McNabb, or something, right?
Well, the one you might be thinking of is the playoff game in 2000.
It was against Tampa.
But okay. It was a lot of passes, and it was maybe the worst game Donovan ever played. He just couldn't do it.
It was a slog. It was such a struggle. But then finally, the very end, the glint of hope. This explosion, I've never been on a sideline that elated.
Well, and here's the thing I'll say. Part of what made it such a big miracle, not just saving that game, saving the season, the Eagles went on a 9-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, when we talk about this game this week, like, maybe all we need is a miracle. Maybe. I don't know. All right, let's get to miracle number four. So that was 03. Now we go to 2010. Seven-year hiatus. And then with an all-time comeback from a 31-10 deficit, I mean, the team is dead. Done. I mean, the game is basically over. 7.5 minutes left. Vic to Selleck, big touchdown. Then you get the onside kick. Then you get the Macklin touchdown. Then you get a 3-and-out. Then you get the ball back. Then you get another touchdown. Then you get another 3-and-out. And now it's time for DeSean Jackson.
14 seconds to go. 31-31. Matt dodged the punt. Gets a high snap. Gets it away. It's a knuckler. Jackson takes it at the 35. Picks it up. Looks for running room. He's at the 40. He's at the 45. Midfield. He's at the 40. He's let it go. DeSean Jackson. I don't care if he jumps, dives. He's running around. And he's in the end zone. And there's no time. And the Eagles win. The Eagles win.
Incredible.
This is Miracle in the Meadowlands number two.
Incredible. Number four, for what it's worth. It's just so. And here's the crazy thing. The B West one is the only one of the four that is not the only one in NFL history.
And not like, the last play. Last play of the game.
Well, not Herm. Herm, I think the Eagles had a kickoff. But the point is, it's the only time a team could have kneeled the ball, didn't lose the game because they fumbled.
Yeah.
Clyde Simmons is the only one where you actually run it in overtime that way. And DeSean, now it has since happened in overtime, but DeSean's is the only one in NFL history that it's the walk-off at the final play of regulation.
And I wanted to throttle him at the same time.
Oh, that whole thing, too. He's running around.
Get in the end zone.
Running around and running around. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we prep you. The Eagles, the Giants, the Meadowlands. It's a different stadium than it used to be. But it's up there. It's special. And maybe, ladies and gentlemen, maybe, for the first time in 14 years, this weekend we get a miracle. And that's the Bathtub Time Machine Eagles Giants Meadowlands Edition.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.